Good morning. I am Deacon Brian Deem, and I am the new permanent deacon permanently assigned here at St. Rose. I've met some of you already, and I have to say thank you very much for the warm and gracious welcome that I have received. It is quite clear to me that this is a welcoming parish. If you will, I will spend about a minute here giving you a little bit of the background about me so you know a little bit about who I am. I was born in 1951 in Austria, and I was adopted by American parents when I was 3 1/2, so I'm pretty Americanized. I was raised in Southern California, don't hold that against me, please, in Santa Barbara area. And though my family was not Catholic, I wound up spending sixth grade in a Catholic school in Montecito. In high school, I moved back to Oregon because this is where my father's family was always from. I have fond memories of coming up every Christmas to the Salem area to visit my grandparents. When I was here in Portland State, later in college, I met my wife-to-be, Diana. And as it happened, as we were dating, the place where we came and felt most comfortable was here at St. Rose. So for several years, she and I came together. I wasn't Catholic, she was, but we attended Mass together. And so it came to pass that in 1973, Diana and I exchanged our wedding vows standing right over there. I came to the Catholic Church through RCIA in 1993 at Our Lady of the Lake in Lake Oswego, and I was ordained a deacon in 2002, and since that time I've been at St. Thomas More Parish in the West Hills. In my secular life, I've spent 44-plus years in high-tech, all that computer dweeb stuff, and I left about 2 years ago to work in the Archdiocese. So now I am the director of the diaconate for the Archdiocese. I should mention that in all of that time, I have known Deacon Don Siphon for years, and I hope that you don't expect me to fill his shoes. I'd like to start off today with a story. It's not a parable from the Bible. It's nothing official. It's just a story. But it's the story of the garden, the Lord of the garden, and the disciple. One day, a man who lived in a dreary gray city was going down the dreary gray sidewalk, and he passed, as he had many times before, a vacant lot which was fenced off from the sidewalk. But this day, he noticed that there was a gate in the fence, and it was very slightly ajar. So being the curious sort, he poked his nose in. What he discovered there was beautiful, lush greenery, colorful flowers, sunshine, warmth. Everything was different in this garden. And he couldn't help himself. He walked in. He made himself at home and wandered around just in delight and awe. And it was quite obvious that there was something magic about this garden because it went on forever. It was miles long. There was no way it could fit inside this city lot. Eventually, he encountered a man there, a man who had a kindly countenance, a wisdom, a grace. And he asked who the man was, and the man said, "I am the Lord of this garden." And the man said, totally impetuously, "I would like to be your disciple. I would like to help you build this garden. I would like to help you here." And the man said, "You would be welcome. Come back, and I will give you something to do." And so the disciple came back many, many times to the garden and worked. He hoed, he weeded, he did this, he did that, always at the request of the Lord of the garden. And one day he realized, you know, I think I can do more. The Lord of the garden has only been giving me light work. So he asked the Lord of the garden, "Will you give me something greater to do? I really want to help here." And the Lord of the garden smiled and said, well, as you know, we are building a rock garden in this one section. And this boulder that is over here needs to be put in the middle of the rock garden. So why don't you do that today, and I'll come back at the end of the day. Well, the boulder was many tons, and the man had no tools. And struggle as he might all day long, he moved that boulder exactly nothing at all. The Lord of the garden came back at the end of the day, and the man bewailed the fact that he was unable to do anything. And the Lord of the garden smiled. He walked over, and he picked up the boulder, and he put it into place. The disciple asked, how? Why? And the Lord of the garden explained, I have built up strength over the years by doing small things and building up to the job, a step at a time. And then he went on to say with a gentle smile, you have spent an entire day accomplishing nothing because you tried to do what you are not ready yet to do. I could have had you weeding this patch over here, but as it was, you had to find out for yourself that your discipleship and your service really isn't yours to shape as you will, at least if you want to help. Last week, the gospel was the parable of the Good Samaritan, and that tells us that we must live to serve. And this week, the story about Martha and Mary tells us something important about what our servanthood needs to be. It's interesting that the two stories appear in Luke, one right after the other, just as the church presents them in two successive Sundays. The traditional interpretation of this is that Martha signifies the active life, and Mary exemplifies the contemplative life. Many of the patristic fathers wrote in this vein, St. Gregory the Great, St. Ambrose, St. John Cassian. And Jesus was declaring both to be of value, both the contemplative life and the active life. However, St. John Cassian went so far as to say that Jesus was not really criticizing Martha. And far be it from me to question anything that the patristic fathers have written, but if they were sitting here right now, I'd say, really? You sure about that? If we step back and take a look at the bigger picture, Jesus comes to visit, to share of himself. Martha wants to serve and does so in the traditional way, traditional in two different ways. In the Middle East in that time, hospitality was taken very, very seriously. In the first reading, we heard about the hospitality of Abraham. But also, service in the sense of tending to the table was women's work. That was the woman's way to serve. Mary opts to serve in a different way. She serves by accepting the gift of Jesus himself. Martha was upset, was feeling betrayed, was resentful of Mary's choice. And this is ample cause for correction, if not a rebuke, I would say. Jesus didn't rebuke Martha, it's true, but he did make clear which way was honoring the giver. Mary's grace was even greater because it was countercultural. But in our lives, sometimes it takes grace to be able to stop and to stop protesting and simply say, thank you, I accept the gift. This is the sort of grace that Mary was showing. At issue here is not that we are called to serve, but how. We may be eager to serve. We may be eager to jump in and do and say, wow, I can do this, I can do the other thing. But Jesus asks us to serve as he needs us. And the reason for that is this. When Jesus asks us to be his hands, his arms, his voice, his heart in the world, he is at the same time working in us. He is transforming us. And so we must ourselves follow the better part. We live in an age of busyness and distraction. I don't know if this is a Pokemon Go destination, and I will never find out. But if you talk about distractions, there it is. If we allow it to happen, our busyness, our action, will quickly morph into distraction. We must preserve some quiet time each day to be as Mary, to sit at the foot of Jesus and listen. We must trust that in doing so, Jesus will move our hearts to align with his need. The active life calls us to do, but before that, in contemplation, we must simply be. In closing, I'd like to offer you a traditional prayer. This is usually for the discernment of vocations. But in fact, this prayer can be used on a daily basis to ask Jesus to direct us and to guide us. Lord, my God and my loving Father, you have made me to know you, to love you, to serve you, and thereby find and to fulfill my deepest longings. I know that you are in all things and that by every path I can come to you. But of all those paths, there is one especially by which you want me to come to you. Since I will do what you want of me, I pray, send your Holy Spirit to me, into my mind to show me what you want of me, into my heart to give me the determination to do it, and do it with all my love, all my mind, and with all of my strength, right to the end. Jesus, I trust in you. Amen.